This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Ahead of a roundtable at the White House, President Trump commented on the escalating protests in Los Angeles over the weekend over federal immigration arrests. The president crediting National Guard members he deployed for quelling the violence.
Wonderful National Guard. They've really helped and a lot of problems that we're having out there.
California's Governor Gavin Newsom says the president overstepped his authority by mobilizing National Guard troops and created a worse situation. The state now suing the Trump administration. More protests meantime over the ICE arrest taking place in L.A. today. Russia launching a record number of aerial drone and missile strikes across Ukraine overnight, including the capital. That caused Polish and allied planes to scramble briefly over Poland's airspace. And word today, funk legend Sly Stone has died. Best known as the frontman for Sly and the Family Stone with hits like Dance to the Music. His family says he battled COPD and other health issues. Sly Stone was 82. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Legislative Republicans and Governor Tony Evers have ended negotiations on the state budget. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tomei Olson.
Republicans are now officially crafting their own budget after walking out on negotiations with Governor Tony Evers. They've been in talks trying to come to an agreement on tax cuts, a priority for Republicans, and funding things like schools, child care centers, and universities, a priority for the governor. Republican State Senator Mark Bourne, co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee.
Unfortunately, those conversations have stopped. The spending really that the governor needs is just more than the state can afford, and it was getting to the point where it was about 3-1 compared to the tax cuts that we were looking at.
Wisconsin currently has a record $4.5 billion or so surplus, according to the nonpartisan Wisconsin Policy Forum. Republicans have the majority, so now this budget is essentially in their hands. Democratic State Senator Kelda Royes.
We're going to see a budget that does very little to lower costs for working families. I think we're going to see a budget that fails our kids. We're going to see a budget that refuses to invest in our public universities at a really critical time. We're going to see a budget that turns a blind eye to relief for ordinary Wisconsinites. We're going to see a budget that exacerbates the child care crisis in the state.
Thursday, Republicans added more bonding authority to clean drinking water initiatives and $500,000 to a program to train more physicians. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Legislators are trying to finalize the budget by the end of the month. This week in La Crosse City government, there are 7 committee meetings ahead of Thursday's Common Council meeting. Today, the Board of Public Works will consider approval of a resolution to allow the La Crosse School District to begin work at the Hogan Administrative Site for a new elementary school. A council planning session is set for tomorrow ahead of a long agenda Thursday for the Common Council, which includes voting on proposals to raise stormwater utility fees twice in the next 7 months. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Packers released Jair. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. The Green Bay Packers have decided to part ways with Jair Alexander. ESPN reporting the 28-year-old defensive back was prepared to report to the team's minicamp tomorrow. Jair Alexander has missed over half the games the past two seasons due to injury. Baseball tonight. The Brewers opening a 3-game series at home against the Atlanta Braves. Veteran lefty Chris Sale on the mound for the Braves against Milwaukee's right-hander Aaron Savalier. The Brewers losing 1-0 yesterday to the Padres. Desperate to score a run. Pat Murphy admitted after the game he gambled, putting in a pinch runner in for Rhys Hoskins in the 7th, saying it was a mistake considering Hoskins could have had another at-bat in the 9th.
It's one of those decisions. 7th, 8th, or 9th, do you pinch run for your slowest guy? It backfired today. It wasn't the right call today, that's for sure.
NBA Finals, the Pacers losing to the Thunder 123-107. Game 3 in Indianapolis Wednesday night with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly cloudy and cool today with high temperatures reaching the mid-60s and breezy winds out of the west and showers and some storms sparking up this afternoon. Otherwise, tomorrow a high pressure system moves in, giving us plenty of sunshine and warmer temperatures, flirting with 80. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. It's 60 degrees at our studios.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
This is for people who watched me anchoring the news at Channel 13. My last day at TV 13 was 20 years ago yesterday.
Oh, I'm old now too.
Well, yeah, that was my whole point.
And I was too when you stopped working at TV.
That's what I get all the time now is people come up and they go, oh, were you on TV? I'm like, yeah. And then I go, don't say it. I watched you when I was a little kid. I'm like, yikes.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Lily Roberts, she is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. The no tax on tips piece does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. You know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, he hosts the Todd Alba Show, appropriately named, from 2 to 4 across the network. Todd Alba joins us after 9:30. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Yeah, across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Alba, along Mr. Aaron Zobbers, our producer and engineer. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Welcome into hour number 2 of the big program on this Monday, June 9th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite from our world headquarters here in downtown Madison, Wisconsin, of Civic Media. Some clouds in the sky, Zobbers. A little cool. As Elmer Childress used to say, cool. A little cool right now.
Which I appreciate.
I know you're very happy about that. Although they say maybe midweek, a warm-up, and then some rain towards the end of the week. So I guess just kind of typical early summertime weather. That's the way it goes. Had a nice weekend this week, as I said in the first hour. By the way, thank you to Senator Kelda Royce for being here. She'll be back next Monday for a Joint Finance Committee update and otherwise. And wasn't that fantastic about her bill on addressing crypto in this state?
Yes, it's good that somebody is doing something about it because right? It's, you know, technology moves so quickly and our government is designed to move so slowly. So I'm glad to see that there are people who are taking initiative to try and catch up.
Yeah, absolutely. Great weekend. As I said, our friend Betty Hayes Baxter, she's not shy about it. She turned 95 this last year and she had her 78th dance recital to extend her world record holding streak as the longest professional dance teacher in the world.
The finish line moves forward another year.
It certainly does. So that was fantastic. And Holly Miller, who bought kind of part of Betty's studio, has her own recital. It was fantastic. And again, as I sat there and watched it, and my sister did not dance this year, although now we're it sounds like there's going to be another alumni class next year, so we may get roped into that. But anyway, I was sitting there watching this, and the professionalism and the lighting folks, the sound people, the quality of this program, and all the kids, well over 100 young people, not just little kids, all the way through high school. And I thought, isn't this fantastic here in a rural community in southwest Wisconsin, bringing the arts and a wonderful true dance and inspiring people. And just like Brady Ewing, our friend from Richland Center, who ended up playing at Wisconsin and then in the NFL, there have been a number of people from all over Wisconsin, rural parts of Wisconsin, that go on to have professional careers in the arts and music and entertainment. And it all begins with programs in our own local community. So many thanks to Betty Hayes and her daughter Cheryl and also Holly Miller for the great work. And then I went down to Milwaukee on Sunday and watch the Brewers cough one up. Freddy Peralta pitched really well. Then they brought in this other guy I never heard of for an inning, and he gave up the only home run. Not great.
Similar thing happened at a game I was at recently. Like I say recently, like a month ago. And the the pitching on both teams was pretty iffy. And we were joking, oh, they got an ERA of 12. And then they bring out one of our relief pitchers actually did have an ERA of 12 point something.
It's gone.
We're like, that's
but
not good.
But it's always a great time when you go to these Brewer games, and it can be listening every day. Through the rest of this week, we'll continue to give you chances in our summertime text to win contest all day long between 7 and then into 6 o'clock hour. So Maggie Dawn will have the next word of the hour coming up on her show immediately following ours. And then at the end of the week, we'll find out whether we beat Tom Hartman or not. We're seeing what happens there. Coming up here in just a little while, I want to delve into some of the national headlines a little bit and how I feel that it relates to the state of Wisconsin. Zomers, you're much too young. But there's a great movie called Wag the Dog, starring Dustin Hoffman and Robert De Niro. I have it, guess what, on DVD right here in my hot little hands. Going to talk a little bit later why the events in Los Angeles, California this week eerily similar in some ways to the movie Wag the Dog.
I do actually know about that movie.
Really? All right.
Because you've talked about it before.
Well, because I've talked about it. So we'll talk about that coming up in this hour and also some other headlines as well. But right now, it is 11 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Time once again for What's Worse. Let's go. Yes. The choice is yours. You can get with this or you can get with that. Time once again for What's Worse. No prize money involved, nothing to give away, but it is your chance to have your voice and opinion heard all across the state of Wisconsin. No better place to have your business advertised than right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. All 11 stations, the largest independent, privately owned radio network in Wisconsin, behind only the great Wisconsin Public Radio Network, but that's publicly owned. So anyway, find out how you can advertise by going to civicmedia.us, civicmedia.us. All right, we're in that time of year where a lot of graduations are happening. But June, of course, a lot of people get married in June. My parents got married in June. That didn't work out so hot.
Mine got married in June. So far, it did
work out. All right, but you have a lot of weddings in June. And so today's category, here we go. What's worse, forgetting birthdays or forgetting an anniversary? Forgetting a birthday or forgetting an anniversary? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. As we said before, download it on your favorite Apple or Android device. Go to the search bar in your app store. Type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Media. Takes less than a minute. It's free. It's what Gail King at CBS calls a deal. Speaking of Gail King, I watched last night the Tony Awards. I bet you did not watch the Tony Awards.
I did not.
It's actually when you come out and you receive your gay card in the mail, part of the requirement of maintaining the gay card is you have to watch the Tonys.
Gotcha. Okay. I thought so.
So I'm under contractual obligation. So I watched the Tonys last night, and it was a pretty good Cynthia Olivo was the host. I mean, she's enormously, enormously talented, and she did a great job. For my money, you can't beat Neil Patrick Harris. But Gail King was there in the front row with her best buddy, Oprah Winfrey, who presented the Musical of the Year Award. So it was a good show. Anyway, so Gail was there last night in all of her glory. Hard to beat that. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. What's worse, forgetting a birthday or forgetting an anniversary? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Tony, watching on YouTube, says, depends on who. But if it's your anniversary, that is far worse because you're half of it. So you have no excuse to forget. Well said. Well said, Tony Zimmerman. Jack in Merrimack, listening via WAUK, says definitely missing an anniversary is worse. It celebrates the date that you made a commitment to another person, though missing either really isn't that good. Kurt, listening on Madison's WMDX says birthdays are singular. Weddings are not. So birthday. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Greg in beautiful Genesee Depot says missing an anniversary would be marriage suicide. Really? Wow.
For some people take real seriously.
Yeah, I know. Robert in McFarland says, if you're married, this one is a draw. Megan in Sun Prairie says, I'd be more concerned than angry if my husband forgot our anniversary. After a few COVID reschedulings, we got married on his birthday. Really?
That would be very concerning.
Yeah. Well, that Megan, that was actually very, very smart, because hard for him to forget. Now, the question is, and I know I'm taking your husband's side on this, but does he get from you both an anniversary and a birthday gift, or is it like people that are born like on the 24th or 25th of December and everything gets lumped together? Right? I'd be curious to know.
I feel like if I were in that situation, if I am on the giving end, you know, I got married to somebody and our anniversary is on that person's birthday, I feel like I would get them a birthday gift and then I would do something with them for the anniversary.
Oh, okay.
That would be my plan of action. You'd have a gift and then you'd have a date.
Not getting two gifts. What's worse, forgetting a birthday or forgetting an anniversary? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. You could text us on the Civic Media app. Len in Madison says, what's worse is forgetting that those are the choices again. Well, that would be very concerning. Tony on YouTube says, is half the day about him and the other half is about the anniversary party? Well, that's a great question as well, Tony, speaking of Megan's situation that has anniversary on her spouse's birthday. Yeah. Melissa, listening in on beautiful Willie Street in Madison. Great neighborhood, iconic neighborhood in Madison. Melissa says, both of us forgot our 25th week.
They forgot their 25th anniversary this week.
Both of you, I got it. Forgot their 25th anniversary this week. No one noticed until friends wished us a happy anniversary. Well, all right, so I have, Melissa, that's very, very interesting. I would say either A, you're so blissful and happy that you just, every day is like your anniversary is happy, or, and we probably shouldn't go there, it's very disgruntled.
Or you're just both forgetful. I mean, it seems like this was not a bad thing. I feel like if one person forgets, that can be bad. If both people forget, it's like, we did an oopsie.
Right. I feel like it's probably the former, where they're just so happy. It's like, well, you know, we're happy with each other every day. Cam in Appleton says, my partner and I do more on our dog's birthdays than we do on our anniversary. So probably forgetting the dog's birthday. That's really good. Some people make big deals on their pets' birthdays. Scott in Madison on WMDX. Our anniversary is the day before my birthday. We both consistently forget our anniversary because of this. I also only get a happy anniversary dinner meal. Oh, all right. Not a two. It's a two for one, basically.
Or a one for two.
Oh, yeah. Melissa, back in Willie Street, letting us know that I like the bliss idea. Now, see how she worded that? I like the bliss idea. Not nowhere completely blissful. So that was the reason. No, I'm just kidding, Melissa. See, you're happy. You're living the good life down there at Willie Street. You're chilling out. You're going to the Willie Street Co-op. You probably walk to get your groceries, walk down to the lake, chill out down there, go to the Crystal Corner for a drink. I don't know.
Oh, I love the Crystal Corner.
I mean, you're living large down there at Willie Street. Let's see here. I guess that's where
Cam and Appleton talking about the dog birthday parties says, dude, we put crowns on them and let them eat steak at a table. You have no idea. We even wrap them presents and let them open them.
What's worse, forgetting your birthday or forgetting your anniversary? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Megan back in Sun Prairie says, we don't do gifts for birthdays, but I make sure to cook dinner and plan something fun to celebrate both occasions. We were going to originally get married close to my birthday, ironically. Heather checking in beautiful Claire, home of WCFW on Facebook. I feel worse when I forget a friend's birthday than a couple's anniversary. I'm 100% in agreement with that. And I forgot to two birthdays, my friend Carrie Anderson Pink's birthday and Paco Baye's birthday, both on May 25th. And I was doing too much for the show. And now I've made it up with Carrie. I got to tell Paco happy anniversary. Happy birthday.
Anniversary of his birth.
Right. Tony says, my wife and I have a hard time remembering how many years. I think we're coming up on 9. Whoops, Tony. Better get that straight. Stay tuned. More after this on Civic Media.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Then listen in for the keywords during the 7 and 11 a.m. hour and 2 and 4 p.m. hour. Text in the keyword and get set to win. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you too can live and serve part-time, close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisisretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Mommy, how come I can't sit in the front seat?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 23 minutes out past the hour of 3 o'clock. Well, Sly and the Family Stone. Is that hot summer, hot fun in the summertime? Hot fun in the summertime. Well done, Mr. Zommers there. One of the big hits, some sad news though, across the CBS wires. Sly Stone, the funk music pioneer and frontman of Sly and the Family Stone, has died at the age of 82, according to his manager. Despite keeping his personal life mostly out of the public eye, Stone became one of the most influential musicians of the late 1960s and 70s, with hits like the one you just heard, Hot Fun in the Summertime, Everyday People, and Dance to the Music. Let's go out with that one at the end of this segment, Dance to the Music. That's a big Betty Hayes number. Dance to the Music. Fantastic. Back in 2023, the musical legend let fans get a rare look into his world by releasing a memoir titled Thank You. Also the title of one of the great hits. The book, co-written by musical journalist Ben Greenman, details his revolutionary music style and also the addictions which took him out of the spotlight. Born Sylvester Stewart in Denton, Texas, Stone's family moved to Vallejo, California when he was young, and music was always a big part of his life. Again, Sly Stone of Sly and the Family Stone, dead at the age of 82. Whatever you always hear, you always feel badly when you get these notifications across. But musicians, authors, actors, they leave a part of themselves for us. And that's always something that I really appreciate and enjoy.
Oh, absolutely.
Finishing up here on what's worse, forgetting a birthday or forgetting an anniversary, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Forgetting a birthday or forgetting an anniversary, you could also text us, just like DJ up in beautiful Wausau, better known as The Saw, not The Shaw, but The Saw. He says on WXCO, DJ says, today's what's worse sounds like a trap set by Shirley in The Saw. DJ not taking the bait. So see, he's going to remember his anniversary, it sounds like to me. What's worse, forgetting a birthday or forgetting an anniversary, Zomers?
I think I'm going to have to go with anniversary just because I feel like, well, if it is your anniversary, I think anniversary is worse to forget because it is, as somebody else said earlier, as a few people have said, it's a day that you made a commitment. It's something you chose. And birthdays, also, they happen every year, no matter what. Everyone's got birthdays. And I don't know. I just feel like, to me, it's less big of a deal, especially because as people get older, they are less likely to want to celebrate their birthdays. Mm-hmm. Some people are like, I don't want to talk about it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I get it somewhat, but people who get like angry about their birthday.
Oh, that's
It's like Judas Priest. Come on, just chill out.
Somebody thought of you.
At least you're a day. You're alive, right? I don't know. I would say that forgetting a birthday is maybe like of a family member or a close friend. I keep track of my friends Ryan and Rebecca's anniversary because I was the best man. So I feel an obligation to remember their anniversary. I have it written down. 855-752-4842. A couple more calls. 855-752-4842. Troy out in beautiful Mount Horeb listening on WMDX. Troy, forgetting a birthday or forgetting an anniversary. What's worse?
Where does forgetting my own birthday fit in this?
Have you actually done that before?
It was like, I had to write down the date. Oh, July 2nd. That's my birthday. So yeah, I did.
That's funny. That's really funny. I guess I've kind of like thought about it earlier. Then the closer it got, it's like, oh geez, I guess my birthday is tomorrow. Whatever. So. Yeah. That's funny, Troy.
I mean, I thought of it like a week before, but then life happened and I didn't think of it. And
right.
Like I said, that day is like I had to write down the date. And I'm like, oh, look at that. That's familiar for some reason.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Thanks, Troy. Appreciate it. Have a great day out there at beautiful Mount Horeb. What's worse, forgetting a birthday or forgetting an anniversary? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. I mean, some people also are very salty if someone forgets their birthday. I'm not like that. If someone forgets my birthday, it's like, okay, whatever. I mean, I don't hold it against anyone.
Oh, yeah. The way I look at it is if somebody reaches out on my birthday, cool.
Yeah.
I appreciate it, but I'm not going to be mad if they forgot.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. All right. Well, another great edition. We appreciate you playing along. We'll play more on tomorrow's edition of What's Worse. Going to take a break here for news, weather, and sports. By the way, sports, big news today. Jair Alexander of the Packers, formally released today. Haven't had time to talk about that, but I know Jimmy Cuska and Mike Clemens are all over that, going to be talking about it. It sounds like the die was cast from what I've read and seen so far. It sounds like the die was cast over the offseason when essentially Jair said, I want to come back, but I'm not taking a cut. And the Packers said, we want you to come back, but we're not paying you $17 million because you missed a bunch of games the last 2 years. And they never really got past that. So now the Packers officially released Jair Alexander today. I wish him well. Everything Mike Clemens tells us, he's a great player, a great guy. I think he just got bit by the injury bug, unfortunately, at Green Bay. And I get Gutekunst, general manager for the Packers. I get his position. He can't put the organization in a position to have that much money when the guy is just not healthily reliable. So that was the sporting news. I'm sure Jimmy Cuska and Mike Clemens will continue to follow that. Going to come back then. I want to dive in a little bit to these national headlines happening in Los Angeles. Give you my perspective, take your phone calls, and how it may relate to the state of Wisconsin moving forward. Don't go anywhere. It's a Monday edition of the Todd Allball Show on a beautiful June 9th, 2025.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Dean Fawson Radis, teacher at Menominee Indian School District, is sparking something powerful in her classroom. Curiosity, connection, and a deep respect for tradition. These students are taking the lead, planting the seeds for their Indigenous Medicine Garden project that ties together culture, community, and sustainability. Radis shares more about what it means for the school and community.
Students are 100% behind this. They were the ones who determined which plants we were going to have, which medicines we were going to grow, other sacred plants that are important to cultural reasons. So we're growing such things as cedar, sage, tobacco, bergamot, mullein, mint, echinacea, chamomile, lavender, that's just to name a few. So we've got quite a plant list going that the kids put together. So it's basically a student-led design. They did the research. They are going to participate in educating the community and other school members about the garden.
I'll have a look at your closing markets right after this.
Let me have your attention for just a moment. There's a few things that have changed at Zimbrick Chevrolet, Main Street, Sun Prairie. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke right here, a decade-long client of that location in Sun Prairie. That's where I go for service. That's where I go to secure a new vehicle. And speaking of a new vehicle, man, oh man, have they got the inventory. I just jumped online at Zimbrick Chevrolet and found out they've got more than 200 new rides waiting for you. I was talking with their new general manager, Dakota, too, and what I didn't realize is Zimbrick Chevrolet really cares about helping community members. So Chevrolet's got a military program. They've got a college program for those kids ready to head off to school or already in school. They've got an educator program because they recognize how hardworking teachers are. They've got first responder programs, all designed to make sure that you can get into a new ride affordably. Inventory very strong right now. Check it out online, ZimbrickChevrolet.com, or stop by Main Street, Sun Prairie.
I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report with a look at your agribusiness news. This Friday, Kinchley's Dairy Farm will be hosting the Dane County Breakfast on the Farm. They are no stranger to opening their doors to guests far and wide and will feature a menu of cheesy scrambled eggs, pancakes, sausage, yogurt, cheese, ice cream, and much more. Be sure to add that to your calendar and join them as well as the Midwest Farm Report team as we're going to be there from 7 to 11:30. Now let's take a look at our dairy markets. July Class 3 milk contract is trading at $18.84. That's with no change. And August Class 3 milk contract is trading at $19.34 a hundredweight, and that is up a penny. 40-pound block cheese closed at $185.75. That was down 6.25 cents. And the double A butter closed down a quarter today and closed at $2.55.5. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy and cool today, with high temperatures reaching the mid-60s and breezy winds out of the west and showers and some storms sparking up this afternoon. Otherwise, tomorrow, a high-pressure system moves in, giving us plenty of sunshine and warmer temperatures, flirting with 80. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau.
It's 60 degrees at our studios.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
Matt Miller, Milwaukee-based film critic. The film Sinners, the more distance I have from it, the more I liked it. Is that an Oscar film?
I think there is a love for what Sinners is doing, that a studio movie was this interesting and creative and thoughtful, but also entertaining. This is not the last you will hear about Sinners this year. I'd be shocked if it doesn't get a Best Picture nomination.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself. surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome from the show Young Sheldon, actor Lance Barber. And we'll talk about the amazing career and life of Michael J. Fox. We are going to light it like it's Monday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 35 minutes now past the hour of 3 o'clock on a Monday. Back to school, back to work. Well, maybe some. I think school's almost completely done now. Might be a couple of districts that still have a couple of days this week, but.
Can't be too many.
No, lots of graduations happening around the state. Good luck to all those graduating seniors. We appreciate all of you. It is Monday, June 9th, 2025. Big week ahead and big weekend behind us. And there were a lot of other things going on, so I didn't start with this at the beginning of the show. But I did want to acknowledge it and try to contextualize this as best I can in a Wisconsin way. Most of us, I think, by this time have heard about what happened in Los Angeles over the weekend, where there were protests, particularly against ICE and the actions there. And some of those protests became violent. People got hurt. Some people got arrested. And it's really just gone, in terms of media and narrative, in my opinion, just already kind of out of control. And it reminded me of a movie came out years and years ago. I have it on DVD. It's called Wag the Dog. If you've never seen it before, I'm not sure. I'm assuming someplace it streams. I don't know. It stars Dustin Hoffman and Robert De Niro. And Dustin Hoffman plays kind of the Republican, it's insinuated it's Republican, a White House presidential operative. And the president is caught in a sex scandal in this fictitious narrative 2 weeks before an election. And they need to change the narrative. And so Dustin Hoffman's character hires his friend, a Hollywood producer-director, played by Robert De Niro. And they essentially create a fictitious war via the media. And the funny part is Robert De Niro's, they get faced with all these seemingly insurmountable things. And De Niro's character, the producer, says, "This is nothing. This is nothing. I can fix this." We'll shoot this way, and we'll create this story. Oh, and they need a song. They create a war hero from this fictitious war, which was played by Woody Harrelson, by the way. And we need a song, so they hire Willie Nelson to come in and write a song about it. It's really funny, but there's also a point to it. And remember, this like 20 years ago. So think what now, you know, with AI and everything, what you can create with deepfakes and everything. But so over the weekend, it reminded me of this. So here's, I don't want to go through every point and just, I know people are kind of tired, but there's a point to my commentary here, and that is based in Wisconsin. I'm going to get to that, but let's back up for a minute and find out what really precipitated this. So Stephen Miller, the schlep in the White House, Trump's lapdog, is angry because the INS, or now known as ICE, the immigration folks, Homeland Security, have not deported enough people of color, i.e. Latinos, out of the country. He's upset because the numbers are too low. So he literally went over and yelled at him. And so now what they've done, they had a big initiative last week in Los Angeles where they went to Home Depots. Because particularly out in L.A., what will happen is some people who are documented, some people who aren't, they'll hang out in the Home Depot parking lot because a lot of contractors buy stuff and they're looking for a couple of guys for day help. And they say, "Hey, I'll pay you X number of dollars an hour. I need a roof done, or I need a fence done," or whatever. And some people were checkout people, like hired by Home Depot. So ICE targets Home Depot in some cases to round up people. And in other cases in Los Angeles, they were arresting mothers of kids that had kids in grade schools. And so they're and in some cases, people were appearing, and this is what, I mean, well, it's all bad in my opinion, but people who are trying to do it, quote unquote, the right way, and might have a temporary status here that is legal, or they're going in to meet with a immigration judge or whomever, the agency, a check-in. Hey, you're here legally for 6 months, but you have to check in with us every other month. Great, I'll go in, I'll check, I'll do it the right way. And folks are doing this, and they're being arrested, even though they have legal status and doing it the right way, and deported, thrown out of the country, simply to make Stephen Miller and Trump happy so they get their numbers high enough. Well, as you can imagine, and I think it was pointed out by somebody in Los Angeles, I can't remember whether it was Governor Newsom of California, somebody pointed out that in the city of Los Angeles, it's comprised of about 34% of Angelenos were not born here. They were originally born in other countries, and they immigrated here. I spent a lot of time in Los Angeles over the years. It's a beautiful city in many ways. Like every major city, it has its problems. But it's a beautiful, a very proud people. And so you might imagine that in a city with 34% of the folks not originally born here, that when you start just, and this is not the quote-unquote rapists and murderers, unquote, that Trump makes them out to be. These are moms. These are folks who are building fences for people in Los Angeles. These are just good, hard-working folks, many of whom have legal status, who are being thrown out, rounded up, no due process. And so as you could imagine, that did not sit well with many Angelenos. And so they had a peaceful protest and demonstration, and that got bigger. Trump sends in the National Guard, which had not been done like this since the 60s, the civil rights days. Now, during the Rodney King riots in 1992, which, by the way, I visited Los Angeles during the Rodney King riot. I remember flying in at night over L.A., going to land at LAX. I looked down, and I'm only exaggerating somewhat when I said it looked like the city was on fire, because there were little fires you could see from the skies. You're coming in all over the greater Los Angeles area. It was eerie. The whole, you know, as you descended into the lower altitudes, the whole atmosphere was filled with smoke. It was crazy. That's very different from what we're facing in Los Angeles today. This is a relatively small area of downtown Los Angeles. There are not mass riots happening right now in L.A. But the news media, and particularly the Trump folks and Fox News, are hyping this up. You'd think the whole city was on fire. And it's kind of gotten out of control. So this narrative has been created. So Trump says, Stephen Miller used the word insurrection over the weekend, which is ironic because, of course, the Trump people actually were part of an attempted insurrection back on January 6th, of course, which the bipartisan congressional committee on January 6th found to be true. So Stephen Miller throws out the word insurrection. And Trump is quoted over the weekend repeatedly saying law and order, law and order. Which, even if you're not a history person, because people say, well, look back in history. There might be people out there that are like Star Trek fans or Star Wars fans. Go back and watch some of your favorite movies and just listen to how many times the bad characters say things like law and order. Well, this is all about law and order. It's oftentimes a trope, an adage, a phrase is thrown out there to justify doing illegal things or fascist types of activities. So Trump sent in, his administration sent in folks to not to arrest people, not give them due process. Surprise, surprise, folks in the community are upset. They peacefully protest. Trump then orders in the National Guard, which only heightens the anxiety. And guess what? When you have a bunch of people start mingling together, there's always going to be some schmucks in the crowd. And this is where I want to be really, really clear about my own opinions here. I don't care who it is, if it's January 6th protesters or insurrectionists or rioters, or whether it's people in Los Angeles or people in downtown Madison. If you attack police officers, law enforcement, military, unprovoked. You should be arrested, given due process, and if found guilty, sentenced to jail. Period. That's inexcusable, in my opinion. And what happened was Los Angeles, apparently over the weekend, is that you had some, keyword, some people that were protesters, that some of them were masks. We don't know whether they were actually part of the Los Angeles community or whether they were people that said, hey, there's something going on. Let's get in on the deal. But somebody started throwing things and attacking police officers in some cases. And so guess what? Then law enforcement, in some cases, overreacts and starts firing rubber bullets in and tear gas. And pretty soon you got yourself a mess. And again, the national media has blown this up. And this is only fueling, in my opinion, the Trump narrative. And so now, over the last half an hour, breaking news, according to CNN, Trump is now mobilizing 700 Marines to go in. And in their words, quell the violence. By the way, Governor Gavin Newsom, Democrat of California, doesn't want, he's like, look, we can make this work. With our police officers, we don't need National Guard coming in here. They're filing lawsuits to try to stop this. Well, good luck with that. I mean, I love this, all this talk. Well, lawsuits are being filed. Well, great. Merrick Garland had 4 years to do stuff with lawsuits to stop Trump. How did that work out? Not so great. But lawsuits are being filed. So anyway, this is where we sit. So now Trump's escalating this. I'll get to my point. My point is, and I was listening to Tom Hartman earlier before our show, and I agree with him on this point. I agree with Tom Hartman. I think that what's happening in Los Angeles right now is a precursor for what's going to happen on Saturday. This coming Saturday for the big Trump military parade. More on that later. And there's counter protests all over the country. I think Trump's going to use that as a reason to call out military and then be a disruptor all summer long. And then this is a precursor for what could, keyword could, happen in 2026, which is, you know, we're going to call out the military to make sure, quote unquote, make sure that elections are free and fair. When it's really about intimidation at the polls. So I want to be really careful and not overhype this. And this, you've got Democrats out there saying, you know, we're at war. Some woman out there who's a congresswoman out there in L.A. was screaming at the top, this is war. Please, give me a break. Has that person ever actually served in war? It's only ginning people up. You can say this is unacceptable. You can say we're going to peacefully protest. I mean, I don't remember. I mean, I'm not I don't have a degree on Martin Luther King Jr., but I've heard a lot of his speeches. I never heard him call people to violence and say things like war. We have some cuts we're going to try to get to here. First of all, I want to go to Jack in Merrimack, 855-752-4842. Jack, thanks for calling. What say you?
Well, two things. First of all, what do you call it when you have someone who is masked comes into someone's home, their church, or their school, and pulls them out and drags them off to a foreign country? They are wearing masks. They have no ID. They are not in official vehicles, but they are sponsored by the government. I would call that government-sponsored domestic terrorism. Now, you may think that's overhyping. I don't think so.
Hang on, Jack. Don't go anywhere. Up against the clock. Stay through the break. I'll get your rest of it on the other side. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Now there's a new way to take charge of your blood sugar. Introducing New Garlic Healthy Blood Sugar Formula from the makers of the nation's best-selling garlic supplement. New Garlic helps maintain healthy blood sugar levels with clinically supported levels of garlic,
plus a custom blend of vitamins and minerals. And it's odor-free. Take charge of your blood sugar with new Garlic Healthy Blood Sugar Formula. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In discussions over the so-called Big Beautiful Bill, backed by Donald Trump, that's making its way through Congress, none other than Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson has emerged as the most prominent Republican critic of the bill, saying at a recent Milwaukee Press Club event that it is, quote, not even close to adequate. Johnson has said he wants spending cuts to go even further, including making cuts to Medicaid. But Johnson's position as a critic of this bill makes him especially influential in these negotiations. But let's not forget the last time he was in a similar position. In 2017, he was a critic of the Trump tax cut bill, but what he fought for was a tax break for certain types of businesses, perhaps not coincidentally, businesses owned by his largest donors, Dick and Liz Uline. In 2018 alone, the Ulines received more than $200 million in tax breaks because of this bill. So as the Big Beautiful Bill is negotiated in the Senate, let's not forget this piece of recent history.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. You may have filled out a U.S. Census questionnaire which promised to keep your individual data private. There's concern the Trump administration or Congress may add a question about your citizenship in the 2030 census. Would you answer it? Since 1790, the U.S. has counted the, quote, whole number of free persons, not just citizens. The census has always promised anonymity to get accurate answers, and that data informs important decisions on everything from road construction to education policy to voting districts. The first Trump administration tried to add a citizenship question to the 2020 census, but it was struck down by the Supreme Court. Trump later issued an executive order entitled Executive Order on Collecting Information About Citizenship Status in Connection with the Decennial Census, a precursor to possibly not counting the whole population, but just citizens. The Biden administration rescinded it, but Trump rolled back Biden's order in January. If a citizenship question were to be added in the 2030 census, a study released in March found it would likely depress response to the questionnaire, particularly among Hispanics. Add in Trump's recent orders allowing the sharing of personal information from federal agencies with DOJ, ICE, and state agencies, the effect on the census would impact policies and congressional voting districts for years to come. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Todd Lowball Show across Civic Media. It's 8 minutes before the hour of 4 o'clock at the top of the hour. ABC or CBS News, depending upon which of the stations you listen to. Weather and sports. Again, J.R. Alexander is cut by the Packers, released, I should say. Update on that. And then the Maggie Dawn Show, four until six, and then six until eight. Pete Schwabe and Nightlight talking about what's happening out in L.A. and these riots out there, protests, and some of them became violent, and the Trump administration, in my opinion, is overreacted by sending the military, and now they're saying 700 active duty Marines. In my opinion, this is setting it up for something larger. One of our texters texting in saying a police state is the goal. Immigration is merely the means to an end. I agree with that. And so let's go back to Jack, because Jack, you had a second point. You were cut off by the I can't control the computers, Jack. Sorry about that. Go ahead and make your second point.
No problem. The second thing is this. I'm a real old guy, and I distinctly remember when the National Guard was called out for protests against the Vietnam War. Mm-hmm. And there was a situation there where there were guardsmen with live ammunition and a bunch of students protesting. Somebody started firing and several people died.
Right.
If you think that the Marines are going to be there with blanks or rubber bullets or non-live ammunition, I don't think so. The Marines don't do that, I don't think. So I would, this
is a very dangerous situation, purposely being set up by the Trump administration. And like the Vietnam War, that was one of the things that caused it basically turned the narrative around and eventually led to the stop of the war. I hope it doesn't take something that terrible, but I'm afraid that it might.
Yeah. Appreciate the call, Jack, as always. 855-752-4842. Let's go out to Los Angeles, California, where the events are unfolding. L.A. Tom, thanks for calling in. From your perspective, what do you see?
Hey, Todd. First, you know, we are the fourth largest economy in the world.
Mm-hmm.
50% of our population are Latinos. I don't know. I've seen more reporters, and I've seen more... than actual protesters at some of these things.
Mm-hmm.
This is absolutely ridiculous. This is Trump getting us ready for martial law, and everyone better be aware of it.
Right.
Because of the fact, yes, we need to protest peacefully like we are doing.
Right.
And be careful for the instigators that are out there. But there is absolutely no comparison between this and January 6th. And January 6th.
Oh yeah, I couldn't agree more. I don't mean to cut you off, but I'm up against the clock. I want to know this because I'm happy you called in. I mean, I was out there at the height of the Rodney King riots in 92 when LA was actually burning. I mean, my sense is this is contained to a small area of downtown. Is that accurate?
Very, very, very small. It actually, the largest part was in Paramount. And that wasn't even a large thing because Paramount's not that big. And it's mostly 100% Latino in Paramount.
Right.
And this is Donald Trump trying to set another fire and run away from the fire.
Yeah, I totally agree. But he precipitated this by revving up
completely
non-due process, you know, apprehensions. Guess what? It ticked people off. And now I'm so disappointed in so much of the national media because they're portraying this as another Rodney King thing where the whole LA is burning down.
That is complete BS. Everybody has been peaceful here. In fact, they think one of the things that the National Guard let off actually started the fire of the car. They showed up.
Right.
Thing from 2020
on the
TV. It wasn't even
right.
2000. I mean,
and I'm not sure we have time. I'm not sure we have time to play this, Tom. But we have footage. I'm sure you've seen it of this foreign reporter being shot by I think it was LAPD with a rubber bullet. Well, let's play this quick, Zomers. Here we go. Here's actual footage.
Hours of standing off, this situation has now rapidly deteriorated. The LAPD moving in on horseback, firing rubber bullets at protesters, moving them on through the heart of LA.
That was real time. Where it is, the video shows at point blank range. Former Republican Congressman Adam Kinzinger, a veteran himself, saw this and said this guy should be prosecuted. And like I said at the front of the segment, I denounce anybody who unprovoked attacks law enforcement. But by the same token, this idiot who point blank shot a reporter, that guy should be held accountable as well.
Absolutely, and I'm telling you what. Donald Trump is causing, we had no problems here in this state. We've had no problems in the state. And now all of a sudden he comes in and starts instigating and the problems are starting.
Right.
You know what? Leave us alone.
And LA, I mean, I'm sorry we're running out of time. I shouldn't assume, but my guess is Maggie's going to talk about this on her show at some point as well. But I'm so disappointed in the Democrats because you got, my least favorite, Martin, the DNC chair, sniveling in a ballroom in suburban D.C. over David Hogg. If I were in charge of the Democrats, I'd have Senator Duckworth of Illinois, a veteran, Pete Buttigieg, a veteran, and somebody else, and have a press conference say, we as Democrats denounce unprovoked attack on law enforcement, but we as veterans, we protected the Constitution, and we're going to stand up against. Where are the Democrats, L.A.?
Well, I will tell you this. The state Democrats, so you got the mayor and you got the governor here.
20 seconds.
Are doing a hell of a good job. And they are saying those things. They're saying, look, we don't need that's in our thing. And Maxine Waters is there as well. Yeah. So it's people that actually are from here.
Thanks so much, LA, for calling in. Hopefully you continue to call in and give us an on-ground report. We really appreciate it. Many thanks to Senator Kelda Royce for being here as well. Ali, I'm sorry we didn't get you to tomorrow. Zomers as well. All of you for listening. Stay safe out there, everybody. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. Back tomorrow. And your day will come. Keep banging on your drum. And they will hear you.
Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Escalating tensions in Los Angeles after protesters against federal immigration raids clashed with law enforcement this weekend. President Trump mobilized the National Guard without approval from the state's governor. A U.S. official now confirming 700 more Marines from California have been ordered to assist in Los Angeles. The president at the White House responding.
We'll see what happens. I mean, I think we have it very well under control. I think it would have been a very bad situation. It was heading in the wrong direction. It's now heading in the right direction.
California Governor Gavin Newsom says the president's decision sparked further violence and he overstepped his authority. The state now suing the Trump administration. Trade talks between the U.S. and China began today. They're expected to continue over the next several days. And word today that Sly Stone died, the legendary member of the band Sly and the Family Stone of the 60s and 70s, known for hits like Dance to the Music. Sly Stone was 82. This is ABC News.